Welcome to the Think Coach Podcast with Keith Kraft. Get ready to think better and grow to your next level as you transform your life. We hope you enjoy this episode.
So the Bible says in Isaiah 46, and I'm reading out of the Amplified version. That means it's the version with a microphone or a version with a bullhorn. This is the Amplified version of Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember carefully the former things which I did from ages past. For I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is no one like me. Let's put an amen on the reading of the word. Now watch this. Declaring the end and the result from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things which have not yet been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. What is God saying here? He declares the end and the result from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things which have not yet been done. He declares that. And so today we're going to do some remembering, but I want you to really get this today. Sometimes we just go forward, and God along the way, he says, I want you to remember. You're the one that has to today remember the past. Not from a negative perspective, like we do that by default, but by design, remember the things that I've done in the past. For I am God, there is no one else. I am God, there is no one like me. I declare the end and the result from the beginning. In other words, I see the end from the beginning. I want you to be able to do that too, because you're my sons and daughters. And from ancient times, the things which have not been done. Just know, God says, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. That's just a good word from God today. So I'm going to take you back. I received this word on favor in 1998. We're going to be telling some of the story, but I wanted to take you back to 2017 when Joel Osteen and I sat down at Lakewood Church and I retold this story. And I also want to give some of you who right now you're at a point in your life where you think your life can't get any better, I want you to get a picture of how I look right now. And when I come up on the stage, just know this, as you get older, you can get better. And so this hopefully will show you that. And so because I was 57 years old, today I'm 64, and I'm just happier with the way I am at 64 than I was at 57. So take courage that your life is going to get better and better. Come on, and better and better. And now let me take you back, not to the ancient times, but let's not forget, as we're given this word over the next several weeks, how did we get to a point where God gave me this word that I'm supposed to give you? So welcome to 2017 with me and Joel Osteen. Watch this. Hey, Elevate Life Church. I'm so excited today to be with my dear friend, Joel Osteen. And thank you for being a part of this. We're launching our series called Catch the Favor. And Joel, just so great to have you. Just greet everybody if you would.
Thanks, Keith. Well, hey, guys, we love you all there at Elevate Life. We love Pastor Keith and Sheila, and just delighted to be with you today. Talk a little bit about favor. I know, you know, I've been blessed to see God's favor on my own life, and I don't believe it's just for me or just for Keith. It's right. For all of us. And I even read this morning, Keith, that the scripture says that the favor of God is for a lifetime. Mm. So it's not temporary. It's not, you know, there's favor in your future. There's favor right now. And God never runs out of favor. You know, he blessed Keith. He may bless somebody else, but he's got favor for you as well.
He really does. You know, the Bible says that really when we magnify the Lord, that he brings his favor, and he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. I love that. But anyway, we're in this series, and Joel, I mean, I'm in this building, and for me, it's such a historic moment in my own life. I'm just going to tell the story. What happened was, this was the Compaq Center. This is where the Houston Rockets. Many times you came here. In fact, you had season tickets right over here somewhere.
There on the fourth row in section 104. I had season tickets there for years.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Anyway, so in '98 there was a success event here, and to kind of back up a week before, there was an event in the Astrodome that I was a part of the week before the success event that happened here in 1998. And anyway, the security team was taking me to the airport, and I said, well, hey, who all do you guys do security for? And they said, well, you know, they started listing names. They said, and you know, the largest success events in the world, and they're, in fact, they're gonna be in the Compaq Center next week. And I said, oh man, really? I said, I would love to go to that. They said, we can get you VIP tickets, man. You'll be right up on the front row. And I said, that'd be awesome. So I called one of our friends, Jeff Hackelman.
Yeah.
And you went to college with Jeff, right?
I tried to room with him.
Roomed with him. And anyway, I didn't know that. You know, Jeff and I were just friends. And so I said, hey, Jeff, I'm going to be coming your way. He's in Huntsville. And I said, for a big success event that's going to be there, Nolan Ryan's going to be there, and former presidents are going to be there, different people, and I'd love to invite you as my guest to come. So he said, sure, that'd be awesome. So anyway, the next weekend, I found myself coming to Houston, came into the Compaq Center. I'm sitting right there on the front row. And so just having a great time. This place was packed out with people just wanting to grow, learn, and develop. And so the man who was leading the organization at that time came out on stage and he said, Nolan Ryan is going to throw a baseball out into the crowd to the most excited, enthusiastic person in the crowd. Well, you know, honestly, Joel, this is the truth. I don't really care about sports memorabilia. I mean, I've never been a collector or anything like that. But it was like he walks out, Nolan Ryan walks out, and he's looking out over the crowd. I don't know about you, Joel. Of course, you have this big space that you preach in all the time. A lot of times, I'm not like just looking on the front row because I've got to look at the whole crowd. And so I'm thinking, I'm sitting on the front row, and I said, just something on the side of me, I said, I need to get that ball. So anyway, in my own personality, I start jumping up and down, throw me the ball, throw me the ball. Well, you know, he's looking all, you know, whether 16, what did he see at that time? 16,000 people, and everybody's cheering, everybody's screaming. And so I jump up and I say, throw me the ball, and I'm gonna suit the whole thing. And so Nolan Ryan starts laughing, and he just goes, boom, throws me this ball. When I caught the ball, Joel, immediately I started crying. It was the weirdest, just the weirdest thing. And so our friend, Jeff Hackelman, says, man, you really wanted that ball. I said, no, it's not that. I said, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, when I caught this, just came on me, and he spoke to me that I'd caught the ball of favor. I thought in my mind, like, it just, back in 1998, didn't really have necessarily a revelation of favor or anything like that. And I just thought, okay. And so I'm standing there just for a few seconds. And then, I don't know if you know Tudor Bismarck.
Yes.
But Tudor Bismarck from Harare, Zimbabwe, Africa, is somebody that I know. And he happened to be at that event. And I mean, it wasn't 2 or 3 minutes. He comes running up and he said, in this British accent, he says, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me that you've caught the ball of favor. Jeff Hackelman looked at me like that. And in that moment, God spoke to me and he said, this place is going to be a church. This place, in fact, when the world looks at the church, this is going to be what it looks like to the world. And I tell Jeff right then, I said, Jeff, it's the craziest thing, man. I said, God just, I mean, I'm just, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, you know. It's the weirdest thing because it's not in a church service. It's not, but I mean, the power of God was on me. And I said, God just spoke to me that this place is going to be a church. And when the world looks at this place, that's going to be their image of what the church is. He goes, wow, that's just crazy, you know. So anyway, I didn't think really anything else about it until I began to hear that you guys were looking at the Compaq Center. And I don't know if it was through Jeff
I don't remember how you heard that I heard, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but about that story that you actually had me come here at Lakewood and share that story. Yeah. Do you remember how you heard? Or
I think I heard it from Jeff, and then of course I'd known you, and then once I met you, you told me the story, and I was amazed because, you know, we never dreamed we would be here, but for you to see that, and that was before my dad died.
Yeah, that was in 98. Yeah. And so it was so crazy because I remember at that time I did not know that Jeff had been your roommate. I mean, I didn't even really know there was any kind of connection. Of course, you weren't on the radar as it relates to being in ministry in terms of you know, visual ministry. You've been in the ministry your whole life, been a part of a ministry family and running the television ministry here. But so it wasn't like this conversation that, oh, I know Joel Osteen, and they're thinking about, no, there was no thought in 1998 that was even gonna happen.
Yeah.
And so I share that to say this, just like Joel started in the very beginning to say that, you know, favor is for everybody. But we've got to, you know, we've got to catch the favor, Joel. We've got to put ourselves in a position where it's almost like you can be driving down the road and every day, the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. We can drive down the road. The sun is shining. Well, why is the sun shining for us? We can drive down the road and it'd be a beautiful day and us not even cognizant of the fact, you know, we're going here, we're going there, that really God has made this day for us. And that's what favor's like. It's like God has made favor for us. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And, you know, Joel, I was looking at a definition for favor. There's many definitions there, and I think there's many levels, honestly, of favor, and I surely don't have it all figured out. I mean, grace is God's unmerited favor, so that's where favor starts. But when you look at Scripture and you see in Luke 2, verse 52, where Jesus grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God and man, it kind of gives us a clue that if the Son of God, if Jesus himself had to grow in favor, then we do too. That it's not just, it is there, but it's there for the catching. It's there for the taking, so to speak. And so anyway, Joel, obviously all these years later, I mean, here we are, 2017, and the favor of God is on this place. Indeed, this place became the Great Lakewood Church that God is using all across the world. And certainly it was prophetic in the sense that, and I'm not saying that to puff me up that, hey, I got the word, but I got the word. I mean, I got the word that day. Like, and when it started unfolding, I went, man, that is exactly what God spoke to me. And then God said, now I want you to throw whatever that favor is, you've caught it, now throw it on other people. You know, we're blessed to be a blessing, Joel.
That's right.
Anything that's good that happens in our life, as much as it is for us, God wants it to be in us so it can be through us. And that's why he wants favor working in our life. But anyway, one of the definitions beyond, you know, the grace of God, which that's God giving us more than we deserve, is a divine assigned advantage for success. That when you have the favor of God on your life, you have a divine assigned advantage for success. And that's why we need to catch it. But Joel, you've been in a great family of favor your whole life. And now you've got a family of choice favor, not just here in Houston at Lakewood, but really all over the world where you're throwing favor. I mean, you're from Norfolk, Virginia recently to Dallas, Texas, to every major stadium. I was with you in before the Yankees played and Yankee Stadium, the new stadium, you did an event there. I mean, how amazing is that to be able to, in a baseball stadium, to throw the first pitch? And the first pitch at Yankee Stadium was not a baseball, it was the favor of God.
I know.
And I'll never forget that night. When Joel preached, it looked like to me, and I'm not exaggerating, that when he gave the invitation to come to Christ, it looked like that whole place stood up. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That had to be a great moment too for you even.
Yeah, it is. It was, Keith, and it's amazing. I love what you're saying to catch the ball of favor because I believe we have to live favor-minded because, you know, like Pastor Keith said, that favor's all around, but if you go through life thinking, well, I never get any good breaks, or you know what, I don't come from a pastor family like you, Joel, or we can all come up with a million excuses, but God has favor for each one of us. And Keith, you said it, we wouldn't be sitting here Well, you talked about catching the ball of favor. I can tell you, we wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for God's favor and if we didn't release that favor in our lives. I believe part of that favor is to believe that you can pray bold prayers and believe to ask God for big things. And you know, when I started off, Keith, I was, like you said, I was behind the scenes for 17 years and I was doing the television production for my father's ministry and for Lakewood here, actually the northeast side of town. But you know, my dad died suddenly in 1999 and I felt like I was supposed to step up and pastor the church, but I'd never ministered before. I'd done 17 years of the lighting, the production and all that, but I just knew that I was supposed to do it. But what's interesting, Keith, is every voice told me, you can't minister. Nobody's gonna listen to you. You haven't been to seminary and you don't have the training and all this. I've learned, Keith, you can talk yourself into your dreams or you can talk yourself out of your dreams. You know, if I'd listened to all those voices, Joel, you can't do it. You're not anointed. Your dad was a minister, not you. But you know what? I had to just dismiss all that, ignore those, and just say what God says about me. And you know, like you're saying, Keith, I always said, God, I thank you that I have your favor. I thank you that I'm surrounded by your goodness. I thank you that I'm well able to do what you've called me to do. And I stepped up to pastor the church, Keith, and I didn't know what would happen. We never dreamed it would grow. We thought if we could maintain what my parents had built there for 40 years, there were 6,000 people there. And we thought that would be hitting a home run. But God's dream for your life is so much bigger than your own. I mean, here we sit, Keith, 17 years later. We talked about it earlier. I had my season tickets right over there. I used to watch Akeem and Larry Bird play here for, you know, all through the 90s. And never in my wildest dreams would you tell me, or would you convince me that one day I'd be a minister, one day we would own the Compact Center and have church here? But again, it's God's plan for your life is bigger than your own. When you live favor-minded and you believe, have that enthusiasm like Keith, you know, throw me the ball of favor. God, I believe your hand of goodness and mercy is upon me. I've learned God will open doors that you couldn't open. He'll take you places that you couldn't go on your own. And you know, people ask us, Keith, how did all this happen? I don't know how it happened. You have to say, you know, I know I'm reaping seeds that my parents have sown all those years. They lived a life of integrity and helping others. And I came along and I got to reap those seeds. But all along the way, I would tell you, it was the favor of God opening doors and connecting us with the right people and just making things happen that we couldn't make happen. Even one thing real quick, Keith, when I was sitting on the front row one time and the man behind me, he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Joel, I designed the freeway off ramps and the on ramps for this building 35 years ago. He was like an engineer for traffic. And he said, oh yeah, we made the exit ramps perfect where they'd feed right into this building. We made them where you get right back on. And it made me think about how, you know, 35, 40 years ago, God was already planning what he had, you know, in store for us. And so that's what, you know, the goodness of God, the favor of God, when you dare believe, God would do amazing things in your life.
Well, let me ask you this. How did the switch flip for you? You know, you're behind the cameras, your father's passing. How did it switch where you knew this is what I'm gonna do? And then at what point you're already at that place where you go, I don't know if I'm supposed to do that. I don't, you know, all those things. But then how do you start thinking Compact Center? I mean,
It was interesting, Keith. When my father died, I had spoken for him, I'd ministered for him for the first time 5 days before on a Sunday, and he died on that next Friday. So that was unusual that for 36 years I would never get up and minister, but I got up for him that one time, not even knowing that, of course, that he was going to pass away. My dad was in good health. He had a heart attack, but...
Hey, so, let me stop you.
Yeah.
That's glorious to me. That the last thing your dad really got to experience on earth, talk about favor, was he saw you, he saw this, he saw it in you. And the last thing before he went to heaven was to, heaven on earth, was to get to see you step into that place.
That's amazing.
And it's amazing.
You think, Keith, he had asked me those 17 years, every year he had asked me, come up and minister, Joel, you'd be a good pastor. But I didn't have it in me. I don't think it was, you know, it wasn't God's plan for me right then. But, you know, I did do it that one time that he called and asked me to minister. Something in me said, Joel, you need to do it. And so I took that step of faith. I spoke for him that Sunday, never dreaming that he would die the next Friday. And so, you know, Keith, my dad was, you know, one of my best friends, and we hung out together and traveled the world together. And I didn't know what I'd do when my dad was gone, but, you know, God had another plan. But let me tell you, when my dad passed away that Friday, two or three days later, after I got past the shock of my dad dying, you know, I was kind of in a fog for a couple of days, but I felt that same desire to step up and pastor the church. And I don't really know how to explain it, except that I knew I was supposed to do it. And again, I didn't know if it'd be successful. I'd never ministered before, but I thought, God, I'm going to take this step of faith. And if it doesn't work out, I'll go back to running camera and doing that other stuff, because I was pretty good at that. But, you know, I think, Keith, it was just a step of faith, because again, everything in my mind was telling me it couldn't happen. But there's times that you know, that you know, that you know you're supposed to do something, and all your logical reasoning may say it's never going to work out. But that's what faith is all about. If you can do it on your own, you don't need God's favor. So there's times that you have to just say, God, I believe this is what you've called me to do. And, you know, like I did, God, if I miss it, it won't be the first time, but I believe you'll, you know, you'll help me make it right. But I took that step of faith, Keith, and just doors begin to open. And, you know, then all of a sudden, just, I don't know, just had to, when I heard this place was coming available.
So at what point, like, let me just say this while you're talking, here's what I'm thinking. You know, Joel's saying being favor-minded, but really to be favor-minded, you have to be faith-minded. And that's really what you did, right? You just stepped, he stepped out in faith, and because he was faith-minded, all of a sudden he realized there's favor. And actually when you stepped out and took that step of faith, that's when you begin to catch the favor. I mean, wouldn't that be the case?
That's exactly right.
Because it was there, but when you stepped out, and again, the only thing, when you're saying about, you know, for 17 years, he wanted you to do that, and I've always said this, that the only thing more important than any decision you ever make is the timing of the decision. And honestly, just as your friend, and I'm going to say this to you guys, Joel is a master of timing. I don't know how that works. That's one of the favorite things that's on his life, but how important is that? I mean, it could have been earlier and it not been, but it was like, you know, hey, I've just got to know the right time. And it wasn't because his dad was dying, right?
That's right.
It was like your dad asked you to do it. Nobody knew your dad was going to die in 5 days, but your dad, and you allowed really the Spirit of the Lord to lead you. You took the step of faith, and bam, all of a sudden, in taking that step of faith, you're catching favor, and God starts doing amazing things.
I know.
And so
it's amazing. Speaking about timing real quick, you know, because that is difficult sometimes, because, you know, you gotta do your best to stay in God's timing. But
right.
Keith, those last couple years that my father was alive, you know, as I mentioned, I was doing the production, and I'd do big live events at the church, meaning concerts. And so I love doing that, because I loved putting on all this production type stuff. Last couple years, my dad didn't want to do any of that. He said, Joel, I'm 75 years old. I want to relax. I don't want any more work, because some of it involved him. He said, I don't want any more work. And Keith, you know, I kind of felt like, well, maybe this is my time to go do something else. Because I had opportunities to work with big ministries. And, you know, I was a little bit frustrated in a sense, but I came back home and I told Victoria, but I felt like God said to me, Joel, this is your dad's vision. Honor him, stay faithful, do what he's asking you to do. And I made that decision those last couple years just to honor my father, talking about timing.
Yeah.
Well, I look back now, Keith, and I realize God put those dreams in my heart for my own life. It just wasn't the right time. 2 or 3 years later, I could do all that stuff that I wanted to do. And I really believe had I not been faithful right then, and like Keith said, just, you know, trust God's timing. And, you know, it sounds maybe confusing. We're saying step out, but I do think you have to feel it in your heart. You have to know. You don't have to beat doors open. You do your best and you let God open the doors, but it doesn't mean you don't believe for big things. I'm always believing for things. God, open these doors. You know, you go years and maybe it hasn't, you know, certain things haven't happened, but you're passing the test, being faithful right where you are.
So good. So you step in, what was it, 2000, was it, or 99?
Yes, 99, my father died.
Okay, so 99, at what point?
It's January.
January of 99. So at what point did you start thinking Compact Center?
It was about 3 years, Keith, that the church started to grow. Yeah. It amazed us, but the church started to grow. And about 3 years in, we knew we needed a bigger facility. You couldn't build a bigger place where we were because the roads couldn't handle it. We were in more of a neighborhood before. And we looked for property out 20 minutes away in that part of town where the church was. And twice property we found, it didn't work out. It's just like the doors kept closed, and you know, you're disappointed, and you think, that's the devil taking our property. But Keith, it was about 2002 or 2003 that after all those disappointments of property closing, a friend called me out of the blue. He said, can I take you to lunch? An older gentleman, I can tell you right where we were sitting at the table, he said, the Rockets are going to move out of the compact center. You ought to try to buy that facility. It's owned by the city. And the first thing I said was, that building will be $500 million. Yeah. It's on the main freeway. It's in the best part of town. He said, no, the city only owes $7.5 million. And it's a longer story, but my parents knew the mayor. He was the first African-American mayor, and they were good to the mayor. They supported him, not politically, just as friends. And, and so I went back home. I went back to the office, and I picked up the phone, and I called the mayor, Mayor Brown. I saw him just 2 days ago. I said, Mayor Brown, you know what? I hear the Rockets are moving out. The city owns the compact center. What about Lakewood taking it? He said, Joel, I think Lakewood having the compact center would be fantastic for our city. Mm. And I'd had to be put out for bid and all that, but man, you had the mayor on you. And boy, when I heard that, something came alive on the inside. Wow. And it just, things begin to fall into place. It was a 3-year battle, but things fell into place. But, you know, it even goes back to the seeds my parents sowed, being good to the first African-American mayor, never dreaming that one day their son would be calling, asking for the compact center.
Because all he would have had to say is, oh, I don't think that's a good idea.
Exactly.
You probably didn't need to do that, and you wouldn't have thought another thing about it.
No, because he controlled it. Yeah. You know, he controlled it because this is not the right time for the city. And so it was the hand of God all along the way. Not saying that there weren't obstacles, because when we won the vote, a company filed a lawsuit, and that was a 2.5-year battle.
Yeah, talk about that, because I remember part of the story that I want you to tell them about. You didn't have the votes that you needed.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about favor. So 2 years. So this was owned by the city. So we had to convince the city council members they had to vote for us to have it. So we needed 10 votes. There were 15 city council members, 10 to pass. We worked for 2 years. And I've never been in politics, but it's hard to get people to vote for you because there's so much political opposition. And we had worked 10 years. We had 10 votes. It was 2 days before the final vote. They'd sign off on it. Well, one of our people that were voting for us, our city council members, he got so much pressure, he called and said, sorry, I'm going to be out of town. Well, he was saying, I'm not going to vote for you. But you know, him not being there was a no vote. Well, he got so much pressure. This is a large financial industry, a city, a neighborhood that we're in right now. He got so much pressure from the financial. They didn't want a crazy church down there like us. But so he said he wasn't going to vote. And so, man, 2 years, we thought, God, you know, the paper came out, said Lakewood's not going to get it, it's too late. Well, there was a young Jewish council member that had been against us the whole 2 years. I went to see him the night before the main vote. I said, Council Member Goldberg, I said, you know what, you could make this, you know, all happen. I don't know why you're not for us and all this stuff. And I tried to convince him, he's a nice man. He said, you know what, Joel? He said, I'm going to vote for you tomorrow, but not because of anything you've done, but last night, this older Jewish lady that I grew up with, I haven't spoken to her in over 20 years, she called me and said in no uncertain terms, I was supposed to vote for Lakewood. He said, I have so much respect for her. When I heard that coming from her, I changed my mind. You know, the crazy thing, Keith, I don't know who that lady was. Wow. I've never met her, but God has the right people already lined up for you. Again, God can make things happen that you could have never made happen. I worked 2 years trying to convince him. My convincing wasn't very good. But you know, out of the blue, this one lady called her, and today we have the compact center. He comes and sits on the front row every 6 months.
That's amazing.
The people still stand up and give him a standing ovation. And I thought, all the heartache he put me through.
But he was the one guy. He was the one vote that you needed. And you know, that's really the way favor is that when you catch the favor, again, faith-minded, favor-minded, and then all of a sudden what begins to happen is that God begins to arrange things in the unseen, the providence of God in the unseen that we could never orchestrate. Like you went over there, I mean, even to talk to the guy, and he said, I'm not going to do it because you talked to me, but hey, by the way, here's what happened last night. And I find that so favor fascinating. I mean, that's all I can say. It's amazing.
It reminds me, Keith, that God has the right people lined up for you. He has the right buildings. I believe when that engineer told me on the front row that he designed the entry and exit ramps, that God knew that Lakewood was going to be here. And so he's got everything arranged for your life. The scripture says that God knows the end from the beginning, that he's written every day of our life in his book. And yes, we go through some chapters that are difficult, but you know what? You keep moving forward and there's chapters of favor. There's chapters of the right people being there. There's chapters of compact sinners, so to speak. So you live favor-minded. You know that, you know, when you know God's longing to be good to you, that he's your heavenly Father, when you walk in obedience, that he loves to do good things just like you like to do good things for your children. Well, God is the same thing. He wants us to succeed so we can be a blessing, like Pastor Keith said, and so we can advance the kingdom. He wants to make you an example of his goodness. And you know, Keith, every time cars drive by now on the freeway, this is the second busiest freeway in the nation this building's located on, every one of them, well, maybe not every one of them, but many of them think there's Lakewood. That's the goodness of God. That's that place of hope. Well, it's an example to our city. Mm. And I believe that's what God wants to do for all of us, make us an example of his goodness.
It's so good. And, you know, I just want to say to everybody, and then, Joel, I'm going to just have you give a final word and pray over everybody. But I just, you know, I think for some of us, we think, oh, God did that for Joel. God will do that for somebody, but could God ever do that for me? And what would you say to that? I mean, somebody that's sitting out there going, well, yeah, but I just don't know how anything would ever happen for me. And while you're thinking about the answer, here's what I want to say to you, that if Jesus grew in favor with God and favor with man, and there needed to be a time for that to happen, then the same pattern has to happen in our lives. And we just have to be faith-minded. We have to be favor-minded. We have to be faithful in the journey. And then God does things that are exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And God is always going to do more than we could ever ask. But the reason we need favor is because of the great promises that God has for you in your future. In other words, why would Jesus need to grow in favor with God and man? Because of the great things that God wanted to do through Jesus in the earth, so that when Jesus in John 17, verse 22 said, Father, you've given me your glory, now I give it to them, that same assignment comes on us, Joel, just like it came on you. And now look what the Lord has done. But just whatever's in your heart, and if you don't mind, just pray for everybody.
Yeah, well, it's awesome to be with you today and have Pastor Keith here. I guess my encouragement would be, don't limit God. I mean, I think so many times we put limitations on ourselves, we put limitations on God, just like Keith was saying, well, Joel, that's not going to happen for me because I don't have the education, or I've made mistakes, or my dreams are too big, I don't know the right people. But that's going to limit what God can do in your life. We wouldn't be sitting here today if we'd had that kind of attitude. You got to believe that God can do great things, that he can open doors you can't open, that he can take you places that you can't take yourself. So I just encourage you to stretch your faith, live faith-minded, live favor-minded, know that God's longing to be good to you. And I believe God is going to make you an example of his goodness, of his favor, and just take you where you've never dreamed. But I would love to pray over you if I could. So, Lord, I just pray for all the people that are watching, those that elevate life. And Lord, I just thank you today, faith is stirring in their hearts. Yes. Vision is springing up on the inside. Lord, like you said, I thank you that they are surrounded by your favor right now. Not one day, but even now, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you would show them a sign of your favor, like you've done for us and Pastor Keith and others. Lord, I just thank you for opening those doors that no man can shut, giving them the wisdom to make the right decisions. And Lord, I just thank you that you will continue to bless them, prosper them, take them where they could not go on their own. I thank you that you've already lined up the right people, the right opportunities, the right breaks. And Lord, that they'll walk into your goodness, your mercy, that they will grow in that favor and just see your goodness in amazing ways. We declare it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen.
Well, you know, Joel, what we receive, it's ours freely give. And whatever you've received, God says, I want you to give that. So I'm going to put a demand on you. So take me by the hand. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray a double portion of that favor on me. Would you do that? Just speak that right in front of our church.
And You got it, Lord. I just pray what Keith said, that you will increase him in favor and influence and opening doors. And Lord, just you'd use Keith and Sheila just in incredible ways. We just speak your blessings and your favor upon his life, that you'll reward his obedience and all the seeds that he's sown, Lord, that he'll reap a great harvest on those in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I just wanted to take that moment in front of y'all, God, and everybody, because you know what? I'm not going to be with somebody like you and not like Elisha did. Elijah say, hey, I want a double portion of what you got. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Joel, for taking time to do this. Thanks for being our friend. I can't tell you how many people come to our church. Many of them are watching right now and say, well, you know what? I saw Joel invited me to come here, so I came. Joel invited me to come. So anyway, it's amazing. We love you guys. God bless you. Well, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Come on, y'all. I want you to give me 10 minutes and I'm going to put me a 10 minute clock. I'm going to speak a word to you based on that word right into your heart. Would you receive that right now? And again, I want to remind you of the scripture that I read to you, and I want to read it to you one more time. And I want to read this to you. This is why we go back. This is why we're doing this according to the word of God. Remember carefully the former things which I did from ages past. For I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, there is no one like me. Here's what I do because I'm God. I declare the end and the result from the beginning. God knows your life. He knows not only what he's put you on the earth to do, but he knows in different seasons the people that he wants to align you with so that everything that he's put you on the earth to do can happen. Would you put an amen on that? Declaring the end and the result from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things which have not yet been done. There's some things that haven't happened in your life yet, and as long as there's breath in your lungs, the best is yet to come. Come on, y'all. That's why we need the favor of God in our life. So again, God says, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fills my purpose. So again, I want to just give you a quick word. This is for you based on this word that God gave us in 1998 that still in 2024, God's tasked me with throwing the ball of favor. So I want to talk about the favor-minded advantage just for a few minutes because that was the context of what we were talking about, how to be favor-minded. And because favor is a divine assigned advantage for success, here's what I believe God wants to do. With whatever, wherever you are in your life at this time in your life, you may be at a good place. You may not be at such a good place. Things may be going well for you. Things may not be going well for you. But this, listen, that doesn't change your mindset. And to be favor-minded is to know that God is giving you and is going to give you in fuller measure as you get the revelation. He's going to give you even in more measure than you have now, a divine assigned advantage for success. Would you just come into agreement with me and put an amen on that? So a couple of things. Number one, being faithful in little things makes big things possible. This is what we get discouraged about because it's little. It's not happening the way we want it to happen. Our life isn't the way we want it. Our marriage maybe isn't the way we want it. Our family, our finances. But listen, a favor-minded advantage is a mind that says, you know what? I'm going to be faithful in little things because that's what makes big things possible. So I wrote this for myself. Favor in big things follows faithfulness in little things. Some people never get favor for big things because they're not faithful with little things. They're just discouraged by little things. But Matthew 25, in the context of the parable of the talents, is that God gives this parable through Jesus to teach us that basically there's three kinds of people. And there was one man, the Bible says, that God said, I'm gonna give him five talents according to his ability. What you've been given is according to your ability. What you do with what you've been given is how you develop yourself. It's how you personally grow and develop yourself. Again, Jesus grew in what? Wisdom, the ability to differentiate between good and best. Jesus grew in stature. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. So if he grew in this, we must grow in this favor. And part of the way we grow is to understand whatever you've been given becomes your responsibility. Your responsibility to do what?
to multiply. So the original assignment that God has put on each one of us as his sons and daughters, after you created male and female, according to Genesis 1, verse 26, verse 28, here's the great assignment that we have. God blessed them, God blessed us to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, subdue it, and take dominion. That is our great assignment. So along the way, wherever you are, whatever you've been given right now, you've got to be faithful with it. Your time, your talent, your treasure. That's why we encourage you to get involved in servant leadership. That's why we encourage you to get involved with small groups. That's why we encourage you to get involved. Why? Because it's your own personal growth and development. It's being able to give back to other people, to serve other people. It's so powerful. It's being faithful in little things. So one was given five talents according to their ability. One was given two talents according to their ability. And one was given one. Well, again, many of you know the story of the parable of the talents. But the one that was given five, he doubled it to 10. The one that was given two, he doubled it to 4. This is what God's called you to do, is to be fruitful and multiply, to double what you got in your future. Come on, it's going to be double and even more in Jesus' name. But you've got to be faithful with what you have, not complain about what you don't have. This is what's wrong in the world today. People are complaining and blaming, complaining about what they don't have and blaming this and blaming that. But we've got to understand, we've got to be faithful with what God's given us. Now watch, for the person that received five and made it 10, for the person that received two and made it 4, here's what God said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Here's the promise of God. I will make you ruler over many things. So again, to be favor-minded is to be faithful in little things. Would you put your hand over your heart right now, everybody, and just say this with me. Say, God, help me to be faithful with the little I have. Because I don't know about you, I've kind of always thought about that. Like I've always thought, well, I don't have a lot, but just be faithful with the little. So if you're faithful with little things, God says, I'm gonna make you ruler over much, much more. When you are faithful, you are becoming faith-filled. This is what we were talking about. I said, Joel, you know, really, to be favor-minded, you have to be a faith-filled person. So again, being faithful in little things makes big things possible. Here's the second thing. Make favoring God's righteous cause your greatest cause in life. It's not about being in full-time ministry, it's about being in the Father's business. What I do on this stage is not more important than what I do when I'm on a coaching call like I'll be this week, or when I'm doing something in a mastermind. This is not more important than that. That's all a part of what God's called me to do. That's my assignment. That's not everybody's assignment, but that's my assignment. So I've gotta be faithful in doing that. So you gotta understand, it's not about Joel, it's not about me, it's not just about the church in terms of a business. Everything that we're doing, we're a part of the Father's business. Nothing is more important than anything else. Why? Because we're doing it under the glory of God. So all successful people have agreed in being causationists. This is one of my favorite quotes of all time. They believe that they are the cause of what happens to them. Unsuccessful men believe they are the effect of what others have done to them or have not done for them. So again, how do you have a favor-minded advantage? You make favoring God's righteous cause your greatest cause in life. Ezekiel 34, 26, and I just want to speak this over you. In fact, before I speak it over you, would you just lift up your hands as an act of just outwardly receiving this? I feel like God so spoke this so clearly to me. I will make them and the places around my hill, Jerusalem, that literally means the house of God. I will make them and the places around the house of God a blessing, and I will make showers of blessing come down in their season, and they will be abundant showers of blessing, divine favor. divine favor. And you might say, I'm not seeing that right now. Be faithful in what you are seeing. Make it about his cause, not your cause. What you cause to happen for others, God will cause to happen for you. That's Ephesians 6:8. It's just a little bit different. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. What you cause to happen. So we were in Colorado this week with a few other ministry couples and people that are close to us. And we had an airport pickup. And anyway, it got to be time and they weren't there. So I called Glenn Durella, who's been our assistant and helped us for many years, I think almost 20 years. I said, hey, Glenda, did they know that they're supposed to be picking us up because it's time and they're not here? She goes, let me call them right now. Well, the lady that booked the appointment with Glenda was the one that messed up, so she came to pick us up. When she got there, she was really frantic. She was frantic because it was almost going to be impossible for us to make our plane. And so she is so upset the whole way. I mean, she's apologizing. And of course, in my heart, I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want to miss this plane. But the bottom line is my heart was going out to this person because they were so upset. They booked the appointment. Now she's trying to make it happen. And I'm just telling you, there was just almost no way it was going to happen. And about midway through, all of us that were in the car started saying, listen, we've all made mistakes. I just turned around to the people that were in there. I said, listen, I want you guys to know we're going to make it. We're going to get on. It's going to be fine. And she's just kind of sitting there. And I said, you don't worry about a thing. And the truth is, it's going to all work out. We get to the airport. And I mean, it was past the time when they would even take bags. And they not only took our bags, we made it on the plane. She's crying. She got out of the car to help. I said, you don't need to help us. I said, we're going to. She goes, no, I want to. And so anyway, I just turned around to her and I said, listen, and I pulled out a $100 bill. I said, this isn't for the company. This is for you. I said, you know why? Because you made something. She is bawling her eyes out. I grabbed her. She goes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have you ever been in a situation where you know you caused something to happen that should not have happened, or you know it was your fault? Don't you need at that moment somebody to give you a little bit of favor? Come on, y'all. Let's be those kind of people. We're so consumed oftentimes, we're so consumed with our schedule and our life and depending on other people that we pay or whatever to make that happen. And sometimes there's just gonna be somebody that needs favor in the room, and you can either be the person that needs the favor or you can be the person that gives the favor. Come on, y'all. I hope you receive that. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them continually say, let the Lord be made bigger, magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. I just wanted to tell you, God takes pleasure in you prospering. Come on, put an amen on that. But you've got to favor his righteous cause. And then lastly, God wants to favor you because of the promises he has for your life. Why does God want you to have favor? Because he's got promises for you that only his favor can bring those things to pass. Only his favor can make the promises of God truly come to pass for our lives because they're too big for us. We can't make them happen. But what we can do is focus on the little things and guess what? Be faithful in those little things and say, okay, God, the rest is in yours, is in your hands. What we can do is to be people who focus on the cause of God. And like Joshua was talking about the legacy movement today, you've got your own needs. Listen, you've got your own financial needs. You shouldn't give to this church. Y'all listen to me. There's not another pastor that's going to say this. You shouldn't give to this church if it's just going to be about your life. Don't give 1 cent. Take it all for yourself. Don't worry that the seeds that you're sowing today are going to impact your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. They're going to draw from wells that they did not dig because of the seeds that you sowed. But hey, listen, if it's got to be about you and your family and your business and what's happening right now, don't ever give a dollar here. Because you'll be somebody in the stands, you'll never be on the playing field, that didn't make God's cause happen. People who make God's cause happen, they win in life. Listen to what I'm telling you. They don't just win financially, they win in life. And I'm talking to a room full of winners. Come on, y'all. So God wants to favor you because he has promises for you. Go ahead and stand up. We're through. He has promises for you. God has promises for you, but watch this. If you make it about his cause, what you cause to happen for God and for other people, God will cause to happen for you. What are you believing for? The promises that God has for you are dependent on how much you grow in the favor of God that you can make happen because you've made God's cause happen. Favor is the presence of God, which gives me the power of God to make the promises of God work in and through my life for the good of God and man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Think Coach Podcast with Keith Kraft. For more information on masterminds, coaching, and resources, go to keithkraft.com. You can also follow @KeithKraft on all platforms.